This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
All righty, here we go, and welcome to a Monday. Dave Bernstein with you. Coming up in the second half hour, John Ault is seeking re-election as mayor of Antioch. But first, we are going to talk about a very special Olympic fundraising event. And it's time to grab your partner in crime and run with the cops. And joining us, we have Carol Andre from the Parks and the Recreation Department of Wenatchee. But how long have you been associated with Special Olympics projects?
Oh, gosh, 29 years here in the Valley, but another 10 before that in the Seattle area. So, yeah.
Hats off to you. Hats off to you. Good for you that you are to be saluted for that and such a great cause. We have Detective Steve Evett from the Wenatchee Police Department. Steve, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I know there was another officer who was going to come. He got called away for a project, I think, out of town. So, again, on behalf of all law enforcement involved with Run with the Cops for Special Olympics Washington, this is a really fun event. Tell us about Saturday, and we're going to talk about how you can get involved, how you can help raise money. And it really is fun to see the officers out there running in some cases full gear. And this is really a great idea. Whoever came up with it, hats off to them as well.
That would be the State Office for Special Olympics Washington. They have a whole team over there. But it is a really fun event. And last year, the folks that did come and participate really had a good time. They're running with law enforcement from all over the valley. There's checkpoints along the way and at the turnaround point. There's a kids 2K that they can do before the 5K. It's a really great family time. You can get pictures taken with the officers. You get to meet some Special Olympic athletes and do some fun little games prior to. It's just a really great energy. And it's in the evening. It's a night run. It's an 8 o'clock run. So it's when it's starting to cool down a bit. And it's super safe, obviously. And just a great time to have with your family.
Now, it's this Saturday. It's coming up on July 13th, and it's staged over at the Fred Meyer parking lot. See?
Yes, it is. We'll have it's on the north side of the building, parking lot area. You'll see it there. It actually just below the entrance to the path that leads over to the bridges. Excuse me. The big fanfare, a bunch of tents. So I understand you will be there with your group as well, and we'll have a real quick send-off and right at 8 o'clock send people out to go run. And hopefully we'll have a bunch of our SWAT guys also participating like we did last year. That was kind of fun.
So I noticed how big the kids' eyes are. They enjoy seeing all of the officers around that are going to participate, a lot of the officers' families do this, but mm-hmm. It really is a family oriented event. I can't tell you how many I think I see more kids than adults.
Yeah, it's not your average run. You know, there's lots of fun runs around, but you don't go to many where there's police everywhere, and it's a fun environment. They're there to have fun, to support Special Olympics, and so they're walking around talking to everybody, like I said, taking photos. Special Olympics Washington will be there with information, and our Parks and Rec will be there with information. You know, there's water and apples and all that fun stuff. But just the atmosphere is just not like any other run. It's just different, and it's really, really, I know this is a word, but special. It really is special, even though it's a fundraiser for Special Olympics.
So tell us how this works. How do you get signed up to participate and actually raise some funds?
Right. You just go to the Special Olympics website page. It's SOWA.org, and there's a link there to Run with the Cops. And there's four around the state, and you just click the Wenatchee, and it's super easy. You can just register right there. And you can either pay the $10 or $20 to register, depending on if you're a child or adult, or you can do both and then raise some funds in addition to, which is really what we're hoping that people will do. If everybody can raise $50 times however many register, that's a huge amount of money to go back to our local Special Olympics program.
Now, can you just sign up the day of, right before the race?
Yes, you can. There is on-site registration.
Okay, so what I've noticed about this is there are going to be a lot of tents, you'll see the KPQ tent that we're going to be there, and then there's Special Olympics tents, but there's a lot of like t-shirts and frisbees or swag and things like
mm-hmm.
that. Can you earn that swag, or how does all that kind of stuff work, or how does that work?
Yeah, there'll be some swag there just for fun. just for kids and to play and that type of thing. And then depending on how much money you raise, there are prizes available after the fact that you can pick out that associate with Special Olympics, like a sweatshirt or something that says Special Olympics, that type of thing.
Cool. Detective Steve Abbott is here with the Wenatchee Police Department. Steve, why do you like to get involved with this?
You know, Special Olympics has been a part of our community for well over, it's getting right up on 30 years, especially every winter. Winter Games is here in the city of Wenatchee, and it's just such an integrated part of who we are as a community. I've been out with the Olympics, with the Winter Olympics, and handing out badges, and, you know, no matter what event I've been to with Special Olympics, it's just a lot of fun. The athletes are just always really encouraging, really happy. They want, you know, and it's not just, yes, they like uniforms, but really they're that way with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, they just enjoy socializing, being with everybody. And so that's a huge part of Special Olympics for me, is just that community, that whether it's a fundraiser, whether it's an event, it's just a community.
Law enforcement gets involved with Special Olympics in a variety of ways. You have the tip of cop is another one where officers like Detective Evett will take orders and serve as the waiters or the waitresses at local restaurants. We see that all around our area. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the community turns out takes a special effort to support these events.
We'd love that. You know, there's different events throughout the year. We do the Polar Plunge in February, and that's not everybody's, you know, cup of tea. It's very cold, but it's awesome. So we do the run event. It's a great, you don't have to run. You can walk with your family. It's chill. It's awesome. And we're planning in May of 2020, a law enforcement gala at the convention center. And, that's in the planning stages right now.
There's also another up at the racetrack come August 17. The officers and athletes, we're going to be selling 50-50 raffle tickets as well. It's something that Jeremy Anders up there at the Super Oval, that he contacted me. And so another opportunity, again, for community to get out and, you know, meet athletes and have an opportunity to share with them.
Jeremy's volunteered with our program before. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I want to get the point across. If you haven't been involved in any of the Special Olympic activities before, give it a shot, because once you're involved, you're going to want to be involved, because it is so much fun. It's positive. It's encouraging. It's high energy. It's just, it's hard to describe, but we don't have a hard time engaging volunteers that have come in for a first time, because they want to come back, because it is such a great time.
We're talking with Carol Andre with Special Olympics and here in the Wenatchee area. What is kind of our kind of geographical area when we talk about supporting Special Olympic athletes here in, say, the Wenatchee Valley?
Right. So the city of Wenatchee, under Parks and Recreation, we run the local Special Olympics program. So it's the Wenatchee Valley. So we have 14 sports year-round that we coordinate and run. And athletes come from all over the valley, Wenatchee, East Wenatchee, Cashmere, Leavenworth. Some come up from Quincy. Some come down from Chelan. So we kind of blanket this general Central Washington area.
How many Special Olympic athletes, and it probably varies from year to year. How many?
Well, we have over 300 in our local program.
Wow, that's a lot.
So when we do these fundraisers, we're not funded. Special Olympics doesn't fund. It's all donated money. So when we need to pay for a bus to take athletes to a competition, we have to come up with that money, which is usually around $2,500. So that's a lot of money to get athletes to an event. And Special Olympics' mission is that no athletes paid to participate. So that's why these fundraisers are so important. So for uniforms, for supplies, for equipment and transportation.
Our area, of course, serves as the home of the Special Olympics Winter Games, mm-hmm. which are held here annually at Town Toyota Center. And that's a real feather in our cap, I would say, probably, because of the support of our area from great volunteers such as yourself getting involved for 40 years. You're not old enough.
I just aged myself.
You're not old enough to have been involved that many years, but I think it speaks to the level of support our community shows.
Yeah, the State Winter Games, they've been in Wenatchee for 29 years. We're the permanent host site. We're the only place in the state that has facilities for basketball, cross-country skiing, alpine skiing, ice skating, within a 30-mile radius. And so when they first brought it here, it was just a natural place to be here, and the community has supported it so wholeheartedly that they just love coming back. The athletes love coming back, because that first weekend of March every year. Last year we had over 650 volunteers help us run that weekend. But, you know, there's like 2,500 people in town for all of these events that are happening simultaneously, in addition to meals and extracurricular activities, dances and opening ceremonies. And then there's the competition. So it's a huge event for our valley, but our valley really embraces it and loves it.
Yeah, you have all the athletes, and you have their families, and you have their coaches, so it is a large group of people that, that come here. Where do they hold the summer games?
The summer games are held at Fort Lewis, on the Fort Lewis base, although it's moved a little bit off base into the PLU campus in the past few years, but it started at Fort Lewis in the inception part, but now it's moved a little bit off. The swimming part is at the King County Aquatic Center, but the rest of the sports are on PLU campus and the Fort Lewis base.
Steve, are you gonna run in the 5K this Saturday?
Yes, actually, I'm hoping to get my oldest daughter and her family along with us as well. I'm still negotiating with them, but yes, the goal is to run as a family.
In uniform, or you just
be in uniform?
Okay, you're gonna have the uniform on.
Yep.
So some of the guys and gals are gonna run in full uniform. Some of them, I've seen them. I'm not kidding you. The boots and everything, and so a full uniform. That's not easy, I would think.
No, it's not so much. Yeah, it's whether you wear. And my feet are old enough that they wear tennis shoes now with my uniform. But you still have the extra, you know, 20 to 22 pounds between the belt and the ammunition and, you know, all the other stuff that we have on our belt. So.
So I've gone and shot a little Facebook Live at this event in the past. And again, it's on the north side of Fred Meyer, kind of by the Garden Center area there. Mm-hmm. And there's a little access trail that. So what's it like out on the trail? Are the officers kind of encouraging some of the runners and walkers out on the trail? What's it like when you're actually out on the course? Because obviously, I'm speaking from one who's not done this.
I have not run either, so we'll defer to Steve.
if the officers are there with their families, yeah, they're encouraging their families. Most of the officers that maybe their families aren't able to come, I've seen, they are focused. And, you know, we as a general rule, when we have to foot chase somebody, it's going to be a short-lived, typically, not 5K. So they're pacing themselves a little bit and very focused when
they're
run.
Bringing up the rear also.
We had
some of our athletes running, too, and some folks that are walking. So we had a few officers that, you know, kind of hung out and brought up the rear, you know, make sure everybody's finishing safely.
Yep.
So I suppose you can't give us too many details, but it sounds like there's a new event planned for 2020, a gala. Is there any little tease you can give us about that?
It's going to be awesome.
Okay, it's like a celebration type of an event.
Yeah, it'll have an auction, and it's going to be fancy.
That's a great idea.
The idea is to be sort of a formal time for officers and their wives or partners. As well as you know, other people connected to the law enforcement community, but it's more of a formal. You know, we'll have some music and probably some dancing. You know, just something to make it sort of an enjoyment, a relaxation, and you know what, just a night to really be together and but at the same time, the intention is
for
a good cause.
Yeah,
to celebrate Special Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay. So if you'd like to get signed up, again, it is you can go to SOWA.org.
Okay. And then click on events. Okay. And then you'll see a list of events, and ours will be there.
Any idea how many officers are going to be out there on the trail at this point?
Not at this point. I have not heard.
We had quite a few last year.
Yeah.
We're hoping for at least that many. Yeah. There was about 30, 40 last year.
Now, can you drop any names in terms of dignitaries, in terms of as far as top brass in any of the departments? Do you know about that?
I do know that Captain Huss from State Patrol, Chief Crown will be there. I believe Assistant Chief Ray Coble with East Wenatchee and Chief Matthews from Chelan County, and I'm still working on Sheriff Morris. Maybe he'll be hearing me now. But hopefully we'll have somebody from all the departments
five,
there.
All five agencies will be represented.
A little peer pressure we'll put on them to get out there and run.
It's pretty cool because there's not a lot of areas that have five law enforcement areas within our region. I mean,
so close and actually working together on
a few miles,
you know,
two sheriffs, two city and state patrol. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get somebody from Fish and Wildlife out there as well.
There you go.
They're the wildlife, the cops.
We can have Chief Cam work on that.
Alrighty, it's run with the cops, not run from the cops. How many times have you heard that joke, Steve?
Enough to just say, very well done. Yeah. Very well done.
And it's part of Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics Washington, a great fundraiser. If you can get involved, again, donate some money, raise money for your team. Even if you forget somehow to get signed up in advance, just show up. What would be a good time to sign up for pre-race registration if you've failed to do
right.
so?
Right, I would be there by 7. Then you can enjoy some of the activities and talk with the officers before we take off at 8.
And the race starts at 8. Should be a very pleasant evening on this Saturday night at Fred Meyer in East Wenatchee. There are other events. See, there's Snohomish County, Federal Way area, and Kitsap County. So that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of only 4.
Yep. Right.
That's great. All right, Detective Steve Evett and Carol Andre from the Wenatchee Parks and Recreation here joining us to talk about Run with the Cops. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk with John Ault. He is running for mayor of East Wenatchee, seeking re-election for another term. That's next on the agenda.
Have a news tip or a traffic report? Text us on the Plum Perfect text line at 663-5139. It's not done right until it's done plum perfect.
Well, we're at 12:35 now, and joining us on the program is John Ault. He is seeking re-election as mayor of NEA. John, thanks for being here today. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners. Technically, I was appointed to the mayor's position, so this will be actually the first time that I will be running.
Yeah, that's true. I guess retain, I think, is the way we do that. But, yeah, re-election is not the proper term, so I appreciate the correction on that as well.
Sure.
Well, John, we spoke just a few short weeks ago when NEA was getting ready to celebrate the 75th anniversary of incorporation. So we were talking about a celebration. Then this time we get to talk about why folks should select you at least as one of the top two candidates in the August primary coming up. Ballots going out here pretty soon. But during that conversation, I recall that you did talk about a number of projects that you were proud to see coming forward. And so let's maybe retouch on some of those first off that you've been able to help guide along. And, of course, probably chief among those would be the advent of some new affordable housing coming in into fruition there. So bring us an update on that and maybe the role you played in that, John.
Sure. Well, actually, that was a point that was made before. I think that we probably wanted to correct that. They were the affordable housing term that was used for the 12 first units that are going to be being built is not actually quite accurate. There's basically three, in general terms, three levels of housing, if you will. One would be what they might call a market rate or economy-driven housing. And then there's an affordable housing component, which is basically they use different types of tax benefits and different types of private and public partnerships to try to build units at a more affordable price so that they can have a more affordable rent for people that are in, like, low and medium income brackets. And then there's, of course, a subsidized type of a housing, which other people are familiar with. The first 12 units will actually be what's more of a, what's called, known as a market rate housing. They'll be open to everybody, and the rents that will be charged will be driven by the local economics in the valley. It'll start with 12 units, and then it'll be a phased build to 60.
And will any of those units be something that's subsidized or something that is going to be a little bit more affordable? What's the situation on those additional units coming on board?
These first units that will be starting will that are being built by a couple of gentlemen. They're local investors. They will just be a typical apartment unit like you would find in any other normal city.
It's all at market rate.
At market rate, correct. There's been discussions in town, and I know the affordable housing folks that offer a different product, which is basically targeted to lower and medium income people to be able to have a more quote unquote affordable housing. They've been looking at some housing in the area as well. They've had some plans. They haven't shared a lot with those with us. They've looked at some private properties and have looked at the infrastructure. So I would say those are probably on the horizon in the near future, but nothing that has come to the permitting stage yet.
Does your community, though, represent at least a more affordable place to live as opposed to, say, Wenatchee or certainly or affordable to alternatives for those that may live in Chelan, or rather work in Chelan, and Antioch's an option as a place of residence?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, just the demographics here, and then the ability to their land is a little more affordable. Our different types of fee structures with the city are more developer friendly, if you will, and so we're looking to try it. I think what got me involved in this several years ago, I saw that there wasn't any secret that growth was happening and that things were moving towards INEAT. And so I was really, you know, concerned about that. And I know one of the other folks that's running has those same concerns, and I share those concerns. But what I did when I felt concerned about it several years ago, I got on the Planning Commission. I was on the Planning Commission for a couple of years, and then I served on City Council, and then was appointed mayor. So I have several thousand hours of time invested in trying to understand what the complexities of this housing situation is. A good majority of that, of course, as a volunteer, but I was more than happy to do that. My position is that according to the Our Valley, Our Future study, there was a large study done by over 40 professionals in the Valley that spent over a year evaluating all the complexities of housing in the Valley, and then they just recently published a report. And so that shows INEAT as being one of the main locations where growth is coming. And so my concern is that we work cohesively with the citizens and with City Council and with all the staff at the city as a group to find the best way to make that growth happen the way citizens of INEAT want it to happen.
Well, we talked with one of your challengers last week who is really concerned about the way INEAT is growing, but really kind of is taking kind of a no-growth, I guess, stance would be the best way to describe it. Is concerned that INEAT's growing too quickly. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think that's something we were really concerned about. That, in fact, the council has just passed a strategic plan for the city that took a lot of citizen input and some folks on council and things worked through a strategic plan. The city hasn't had a real defined strategic plan that's been updated on a regular basis in the past, and we thought that was really important. So one of the ways we wanted to address that was to try to look and identify the areas that our citizens felt were the most important and then try to focus on those. As far as the transparency piece, I think there was some concern among transparency, and I kind of wanted to just take a second to address that. When I was actually on council, we used to have one meeting a month, and you'd typically get your agenda and the notes for the meeting about an hour or so before the meeting without really any time to prepare. So I advocated for a different approach, and so what happens, basically the Friday before the meeting, you get all of your agenda and all the notes and all the issues that are coming before council. And then they have from that Friday until the following Tuesday to review it. And then every Tuesday before council meetings, there's a workshop, which is open to the public. So there's two of those every month. And then we also added an additional council meeting to the agenda every month as well. So there's actually two workshops and two council meetings for the public to attend so they can find out what's going on.
We're talking with John Ault. He is he was appointed as mayor and now seeking election to the position for a full term. Street improvement. You were able to receive a transportation improvement grant. You just got a new baseball soccer field project completed, and the marina project back on the planning stages. Maybe speak to briefly your roles in those projects as well.
Both the street and the soccer and baseball field projects have been in the works for a couple, 3 years. Actually, when I came into the office earlier last year, both of those projects were stalled. There was a number of engineering issues, and then also the funding was not complete. Both of those came in way over budget, which unfortunately is not uncommon nowadays. In fact, we had some line items on the street project that came in 400% over what the engineer's estimates were. So we had to work aggressively to try to find some value-added engineering, and then we went out aggressively and looked for additional funding. So the ball field and the soccer field actually have seven sources of revenue to build that, and then we had to partner with the Transportation Improvement Board for additional funding, and then we also went to our county commissioners, and they provided the last funding for the street project. Neither one of those would have happened without, then we would have, if those projects had failed, the city would have had to pay back all the money that had already been spent, and then those projects would have gone by the wayside.
What do you want to do, what would be your priorities in the next term if you're elected, John?
Well, I think I'd want to take the Our Valley, Our Futures Housing Solutions Group study, and I'd like to get a broad coalition of individuals. I think the other government officials and also, working with the citizens specifically to evaluate, what the needs of INEAT really are. If we're going to actually have growth, it's important that it's sustainable and controlled. As I too want to maintain INEAT's small town charm, and it's I want it to be a family first values here, and that's really important to me. And unbridled growth would not be healthy at all. I want to be able to provide quality engagement with the citizens. One of the ways we're doing that, besides having four meetings a month that they can join us, we've also built a new website over the last year and a half. We had hundreds of hours of volunteer time that brought that online, and we actually started that up on our 75th anniversary, so there's a brand new website to bring engagement from the citizens as well. So I think those are all important things. The citizens really need to know what's happening, and I really want them to be engaged.
Do you, with a city of your size, do you have to provide, I think the term is low barrier housing? Is that a requirement for a city your size, or is that only for larger cities? Explain that.
Yeah, it's in our comprehensive plan. Actually, our planning commissioners spent the last year and a half doing a complete overhaul of our comprehensive plan, which is required every 5 years. And so and that was just passed by City Council at a recent meeting. And that plan does talk about that. It looks about the demographics of, and in fact, if we don't at least have some way to provide a variety of housing, it severely impacts our ability to go out for funding and grants.
What's your management style, John, as a mayor? How would you best describe it?
I guess I would qualify that as, I'm a hands-on individual. My salary pays me 8 hours a week. I will often spend 40 or 50 because that's just what it takes. But over the last year, I've built a tremendous staff, and so I have some very highly qualified and engaged staff now that's being able to take the reins on a number of these projects. We have a new community development director that's just come on board that has an extensive background, and we've been grooming and training and promoting staff internally to continue to add those services that we need.
We're going to take a quick break. It's 12:48, and time going quickly with John Ault. He is seeking election as mayor for a full term after the appointment to the position in Antioch. When we come back, we'll get some final thoughts. Also, how do you get in touch with Mayor Ault to support his campaign and find out more? That conversation continues next on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
12:52 now with John Ault. He is mayor of Antioch and is seeking election to a full term after the appointment. And it's been a busy time in Antioch with a lot of projects either coming onto the drawing board or that have just recently been completed. And John, I think the key to moving forward with new projects is communication, I think, is what you've tried to get across here in our conversation today. And as you are successful in your campaign, you want to make sure that people get in touch and you keep that communication line open.
Well, absolutely, Dave. I mean, and I think your show is a perfect example of that, giving the opportunity for the citizens to actually be informed and be able to make an informed decision. I mean, that's the most important thing to me, and it has been all along. I feel that the transparency and the citizens having a good working understanding of how their city government is handling their needs is one of the most important things. I'm going to try to start in the near future what I call coffee with the mayor. It'll probably look like one evening and maybe one afternoon session where folks can bring their concerns or just talk about things in general, what they foresee about the city. The wonderful part about a small town is that everybody's connected, but the challenge is also we haven't been very good about promoting better communication using modern technology. So the conversation where, you know, you used to sit in a circle as a, you know, maybe in elementary school when you told a story to your neighbor and then they told it and went around the circle and by the time it came back to you, you had no idea what you had even said. That's something I definitely want to try to change. I want to be sure that the story stays consistent and that everybody hears everything that they want to know about whatever's happening in the city.
What is the, I guess we'll give you the final word here, the reason people should elect John Ault as the next mayor of Antioch?
Well, I think I offer the ability to have a larger perspective maybe than some folks might. I do have the experience from the Planning Commission, so I have the planning piece that I'm familiar with. I have the legislative piece from council. So I've seen how that whole system works and understand how the council is supposed to help direct the vision and direction of the city. And now I have had time to work on the administrative side. So now I'm the individual with my staff that's tasked for making the things that the citizens and council want to have happen. So those three, like the three legs of a stool, if you will, you know, it needs three legs to stand on. I think I have a solid foundation on all three of those things.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to learn more about your campaign for mayor? Is there a Facebook page or a website, or what's the easiest way to communicate with you?
Well, to start with, email will work, and it's just John Ault, J-O-H-N-A-L-T, and the number 4, and then mayor. So it reads John Ault for mayor, with using the number 4 at gmail.com. And if I'm successful with the primary, I'm planning on starting a website for a more active campaign later on in August.
All right. John Ault 4, that's the numeral 4, mayor, John Ault 4 mayor at gmail.com. All righty. Thank you for the conversation today. We appreciate it.
Dave, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.